lift up your hands everywhere. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Adonai, we give you the worship. Thank you for a time like this. Jehovah Rapha Kamekadesh. Thank you. And thank you. And thank you. We ask that not one person will live here the same way they have come. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you. The privilege of being called your own. We won't take it for granted. Do something in someone's life today that will live with them for time and eternity. We worship you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. And please be seated. You welcome someone to church this morning. Hallelujah. Somebody say a loud amen. I bring you greetings from Abia State. You know, people should beware of the name they call themselves. Abia State's own name is titled God's Own State. And so without planning anything, we spent 5 days in one state. Normally we'll do two days crusade in one place. Maybe had the most the next morning, 2 days crusade. But this one, 5 days, we didn't plan it. About 2 days. Umaya, 2 days. Umudike, 1 day. And all is 5 days. We had a great, great, great time. We will be showing you shortly the clip of our experience there. And the earth is being filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Somebody say amen. This morning I am going to rapidly go over before the clips come. I'm going to rapidly go to the third portion of our message continuing from yesterday. I thought I'll finish it today, but it seems to be going and going. Maximizing the blessing that is beyond tithes and giving, and this is part 3. Beyond tithes, beyond giving, part 3. Deuteronomy chapter 20, chapter 8, all right, 28 first. And in verse 8, it said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and it shall bless thee in the land which the Lord has given thee. The Lord bless His word in Jesus' name. The objective of the message is the same like we started last week. It is understanding what to do to maximize and multiply the blessing of God in our lives. What do we do to maximize and multiply the blessing of God in our lives? Number 2, it is understanding what to do beyond tithing and giving. Many Christians say, I've paid my tithe, I've given my offerings, and yet my situation has not changed. What could be the challenge? There are 2 things I want to say today by way of introduction. First, that there is a higher purpose of God beyond blessing our lives, a higher purpose, and that is turning us into generational blessings. There is a higher purpose beyond just blessing us. It is turning us into generational blessings, blessing the kingdom and blessing the people. Secondly, God is the God of principles and systems. And the blessing of God, right, our first reference was Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 2. That's right. That's reference for the first point I made. Secondly, God is the God of principles and systems. And the blessing of God follows the principles and systems of God. It follows the principles and systems of God. Genesis 28 verse 1 to 2. Sorry, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 2. It said, and it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings, observe to do what I command you, is my principles. Follow my principles, and all these blessings shall come upon you. Now, to understand systems, let me give the automobile, the vehicle, various systems come into play to make a vehicle to move. You have the electrical system with the ignition, the kickstarter, and the contact, and all of that, the electrical system. You have the hydraulic system, the brake system. You have the metallurgical system, the chassis, the body. You have the engine system, the mechanical system, that is the engine and all of that. These systems will work together. Now you can have a brand new engine with a contact system that is faulty, and the vehicle is not moving. Am I communicating? And it is possible to have the contact, the electrical is working, and the hydraulic, the brake is working, but you have the mechanical system not working, the carburetor or something, and the vehicle is not moving. That is how it is. All truths are parallel. Please sit down. All truths are parallel. I've paid my tithe. I've given my offering. That is a system within God's blessing package. That is a giving system. But there are other systems within the package that may not be functional, and everything is still shut down. We're talking about the investment system. We are talking about the waste management system. All of that go hand in hand to ensure that the blessing is the whole package. Now, from last Sunday, we began to see some of the principles that we looked at last Sunday. And that is, number one, we talked about possess vision and goals. So you can look at that as a vision system and the goal setting system within the whole package of the blessing. Possess vision and goals of excess and abundance. We looked at that last Sunday. And then we looked at the work system. Be diligent. Be a hard workman or a workwoman. You are a giver, you are this or that, and you are not a worker, you will still be a beggar. Be a hard workman. Diligent. That is another of the systems. And then you have possess integrity. Be known as a person of financial integrity. That again is another system. It's the character system, the integrity system that somebody must possess in order for the whole package to work. And then you move on to the finance management system, the reserve system. You don't spend everything. That is another system in the package that will make the things to work. And then we have the investment system. Be investment minded. Okay. And so we have all of these. And if you were not there last Sunday, I will advise that you go through the message last Sunday. Some people called it a master class. Some people called it an MBA class. Whatever it was. And I want you to also share this with your friends, so that we can run the race set before us. I am going to go further tonight, today, and go to the point number 6. And that is number 6. Avoid wasteful living. If we did want to see the blessing of the Lord, we must avoid wasteful living. avoid waste. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 and in verse 9, it said, he also that is slothful in his work is the brother of him that is a great waster. Let us start by defining what waste is all about. Number one, or rather, just only one definition for this service, and then a second one for the second service. Waste means to use or expend carelessly, extravagantly, or to no purpose. Where a person is using, in this case, money, resources, carelessly, to use or expend carelessly, extravagantly, or to no purpose. That is Oxford Dictionary's definition. So we have a lot of careless spenders, extravagant spenders, and those who spend to no purpose. That is the first thing to note about waste. That's its definition. But there are things. All right, take that as number one, and let's go ahead on to other things about waste. Second thing about waste, or second definition about waste, or regarding waste, B. Waste would also include unplanned, unbudgeted, unwise expenditure. Unplanned, unbudgeted, unwise. You didn't plan it. You didn't budget it. And it is not wise. Just found yourself somewhere and they are selling things. Why not? It never occurred to you. You didn't need it. Let me just patronize this person. It's unplanned, unbudgeted, unwise. This is a doorway to scarcity for many people. And thirdly, waste is the usage of means in an absolutely perishable manner. Where means is perishing, resources are perishing. Absolutely perishable manner. Grounded cars everywhere. They are bringing nothing. They are just occupying space. Unusable things everywhere. Now, look at the following consequences of waste. First, both the wasteful and the slothful have one destiny, and that is scarcity, shortage, empty-handedness. Both the wasteful and the slothful, the person who is hardworking but is a waster, and the person who is lazy, those, the two of them will end in the same place. You didn't hear what I said? Proverbs chapter 18 verse 9. He said, he also that is slothful in his work is the brother of him that is a great waster. The slothful and the wasteful will end in the same place. They have the same destiny. The person who works very hard and is getting a lot of resources, but is a waster. And the person who is very lazy, all of them will end empty-handed. It's a matter of time. Spending carelessly. Spending on impulse. I'll come to that later. Spending anyhow. Second, the famine will always arise for the waster. If famine does not happen yet, it's a matter of time. That is what we saw from the story of the prodigal son. The Bible said, and when he had spent all, there arose a great famine. Luke chapter 15 from verse 13. He said, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all his all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted. He wasted his substance with riotous living. He wasted. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Next verse. And when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine. He spent all, there arose a mighty famine. The famine will always rise for the waster. Am I speaking to anybody here at all? Number three, wisdom and waste are mutually exclusive, diametrically opposed. They are mutually exclusive. They are diametrically opposed. What's the meaning of that? The presence of wisdom is the absence of waste. If a man is wise, he won't waste resources. The presence of wisdom is the absence of waste. And the absence of wisdom is the presence of waste. Anywhere wisdom is lacking, waste is abundant. That is what we saw in Proverbs 21 verse 20. He said, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But the foolish man wastes everything. Treasure to be desired in the dwelling of the wise. Many years ago, I met a man. I remember his name till today. He was a gubernatorial candidate of one of the states. And we're talking, he came for prayer and we're talking. He told me somebody who was his colleague when all of them were AGMs at the same level in a particular bank in Nigeria then. They were all up the same level, the same opportunity, the same possibilities, the same resources. The man he's talking about now, if I mention his name, all of you know him. If you call five banks in Nigeria, of the biggest is one of them. The banks also have networks across Africa and across the world. He said, me and that man, we were contemporaries. That is, we had equal resources at that time. He said, but he spent his money traveling the world. Today, he's in Singapore. Next tomorrow, he is in Paris. The other day is in Namibia. It was from him I knew that Namibia was a fanciful country then. Then that was my first time of knowing to Namibia. From there to another country. From there to, he was just enjoying his life. First class trips, 5-star, 7-star hotels, Dubai. Then the time came, take your seat. When his contemporary became a mega bank owner, billionaire, he was still looking for survival. I don't know where that guy is today. Am I communicating at all? That is the outcome of waste. Every devil that is putting you under pressure to spend is the devil of poverty. Is the demon of scarcity, of shortage, that puts your life under the perpetual pressure of purchase. Of what use is it? Just got shoe, you don't need. You got car, you don't need. You got this, you don't need. Just everywhere. They try to convince me to buy it. Say, this phone you need is the new one. How much is it? One day I asked him, I said, with this phone, can I call God directly? It's not that I don't have money to buy it. I could buy 100 of it at once if I want. But I don't think that it is necessary. They brought two cars some time back. And they said, these two cars, they are very cheap. They are so, this is the price of it. I said, okay, I have heard. The price of those two cars, I can drop it at once for crusade, for souls to be saved. I can use it to reach out. Oh, it's the latest model, it's a 2020 something. I can use it to reach the poor, the afflicted, and so on. But to drop it just to drive. But it is those who don't have even the substance that put themselves under such wasteful pressure so that they can show up and show off. Somebody is getting delivered today. Somebody is getting delivered today. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. If you are saying amen, say aloud amen. Avoid wasteful. So some of us, we need to go back to just go to your stores and your resources and see the things that are wasting that you can rapidly convert into. I'll talk more about that in the second service. And rapidly convert into resources. You look for them and pull them together. You will be shocked. Is God speaking to somebody here? Lift your right hand and say, Father, I reject existence in wastefulness in the name of Jesus. Today I declare the destruction of every taste and every appetite of waste now in the name of Jesus. Somebody came from London. He said, I traveled to America. And as I was shopping, I saw this suit and this bag, and you came to my mind. So I bought it for you. You thought it was a gift. No, I bought it for you. It is costing $1,000. You say, really? I'm to pay you. So, oh, no, I'm not interested. No, I didn't ask for it. I'm not in need of it right now. Especially people who want to sell something to you. They want to sell something to you. And they want to sell it to you at all costs. I'll come back to that one later. Receive it now. Pay anything you have now. Pay later. Ola, 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 ola. I'm not in need of this now. There are more important things. I have priorities now. I have things that are on my mind now. There are things I want to do. That is why God has not been able to bless so many people. Because the waste is too much. You know, let me speak briefly. When we were in our house from the scratch, it is not possible for food of yesterday to be wasted anyhow. No. No, including honor. You know, Anna? Moldable. No, food, food. Not rice, food. You know, my mother-in-law was looking for food in Boko some time ago. He went to a restaurant and he said, do you have food here? No. Do you have food here? No. Do you have food here? No, sir. She was surprised. How would a restaurant not have food? So she went to one. The other one was the one that brought out the revelation. Do you have food here? No. Only rice. That was when it was discovered that food means... If you apple, if you have not molded your hand, it's not food yet. You have to mold it and swallow it. That was food. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And the food of yesterday in the village, it is breakfast. Do you know it? In the earthen clay pot with draw soup. Right, they arrange it into the pot, and in the very, very, very impactful. You know, and that is in the morning, and the draw soup, the one that is at the edge and the bottom. That one, you don't use the honor directly. You use your hand. It is with a finger you arrange it to this side. I'm sure you know. For where? You cannot discard the food of here. It's not possible to see the food in the dustbin. What happens? You repackage and represent. You repackage it and represent. The onna is not wasted. The rice is not wasted. The food is not. It's not possible. There are people, God is watching your dustbin and watching the wastage of food. And he said, this one is no candidate at all. Just leave them at a low level. The way they are wasting this food is how they will waste millions and waste billions. Buying nothing, using it to show off. Forget, just leave this person at this level. Do you understand what I'm saying? That spirit of poverty is a spirit of waste too. My father owned luxury buses. He was very wealthy in his days, called him his own days billionaire. He goes to the filling station, buys fuel. The filling station man said, he's behaving as if he's looking for the 50 kobo or 5 naira change. He said, okay, I'm waiting. He said, sorry, I'm trying to find change. He said, okay, go ahead, look for it, I'm waiting. He will stand beside his Mercedes car. You have to. By the, if you hand him over, then he will proceed. Except he gives it to you. He says, you don't struggle to offer it to another person. You don't struggle to get it and then lay it at the feet of another person just like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is what is affecting so many people today. And they are wondering why God is not answering them. Because something is wasting. Now, the next number 7, that's why I said I wasn't going to be able to finish it today, because the next one is close, and that is avoid borrowing. All the patronizers of online borrowing apps, avoid borrowing. Avoid in debt. indebtedness. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and in verse 6. He said, "For the Lord thy God blessed thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you." He blessed you as he promised you. You shall lend to nations, you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, they shall not reign over you. What is borrowing? You know it, but let me put it in a definition form. Borrowing is the act of obtaining money you don't have. Money you don't have. From a lender. With the promise of repayment at a later date. The act of borrowing, of obtaining money. The key thing is money you don't have. Money is in your hand, but you don't have it. Given to you by someone with a promise of repayment at a later date.
Give the Lord a praise. We must break the head of the devil of borrowing today. Give the Lord a praise. We must break the head of the devil of borrowing. We must break the head of the devil of borrowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall break the head of the devil of borrowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall break the head of the devil of borrowing.
And if you are a bank manager here, don't be angry. You need to be qualified.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Somebody say loud amen. Amen. Somebody say loud amen. Amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap as you take your seat. As we proceed, I'd like you to pay very, very careful attention to what we are saying. Now, what are the consequences of borrowing? There are those who feel like when you go to the bank so that they can help finance your business and they give you loan, and that loan is collateralized, is backed, they have something from you that they hold while you service the loan or the interest at the end. There are people who think that technically the bank is holding what is yours and you are holding what is theirs. So you are not owing each other, except you pay the loan. We will see something about that shortly. That many times is a trap. You can say technically they are not owing me, and I'm not owing them, because I took 100 million from them, and they are holding something that is 150 million from me, or 200 million. So they are the ones actually owing me. You will know later who is owing who. There are also situations where there is an agreement of payment. This thing is 100 million. Pay 25 million now. Pay 25 million in 3 months. Pay another 25 million in another 3 months. And complete the payment in another 6 months. If you meet up with payment terms, technically you are all right. Technically. It is better if it can be avoided. But if there is payment terms
with a predictable income source that services the that payment, technically you are okay. Technically. But if it is, do you understand what I'm talking about? But if it is avoidable, it should be. But we are going to go right now. What are the consequences of borrowing or indebtedness? Number one, borrowing is an anti-covenant practice that negates and counteracts the working of the giving covenant. It negates, it counteracts the working of the giving covenant. In Deuteronomy chapter 15 and in verse 6, God speaking said, "For the Lord thy God blessed thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow." The God who wants to bless you, who says give, it shall be given to you, who said bring all your tithes and I'll open the heavens for you, he is the same God that is saying, I if you want this blessing that I'm talking about to be yours, borrowing is not part of the system. Indebtedness is not a part of it. That is, whatever else you are doing, if you enjoy borrowing and indebtedness, you neutralize my capacity to bless you. Number two, borrowing is proof of impatience, inability to wait for God's time for increase and enlargement. It's proof of impatience, inability to wait for God's time for increase and enlargement. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there is a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. That is, it's impatience, and that impatience makes people. That is, inability to wait to grow gradually. That is, you have decided not to grow gradually. You want to blow at once. Borrowing is proof of that. Number three, borrowing is emptying tomorrow into today, such that when tomorrow arrives, it arrives empty. You are emptying tomorrow into today. The money that is to come to you tomorrow, you spent it today by what you borrowed. How many civil servants and other salary earners are stranded because instead of having more money at the end of the month, they have more month at the end of the money. Right? There is more month at the end of the money. That is, the salary has finished by 5th of this March. They have to borrow to stay, to survive till end of March. By the time March salary comes, it has already finished. So they release it out, and by the 5th of April or 3rd, they are back to square one. So it is a permanently emptied tomorrow. And some may think that they are doing you a favor by advertising it to you, but it's empty. Now, let us go. My time is up, but this must be finished. At least this must be finished. It's emptying tomorrow into today, and such that when tomorrow arrives, it arrived empty. Number seven, borrowing establishes life in the perpetual position of servitude. Perpetual position of servitude. The rich ruleth over the poor. Proverbs 22:7. And the borrower is servant to the lender. It establishes perpetual position of servitude. You are not a master of resources. You are a servant of resources. You might be a billionaire, but a servant billionaire of a bank. He might be, whatever it is. Perpetual position of servitude. Number five. And no one here, and he said, thou shalt not be the servant of men. Number five. Borrowing or indebtedness in bracket puts life under intense burden and pressure. It is a weight that must be laid aside. It puts life under intense burden and pressure. Burden of, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, it says lay aside every weight. The burden. Burden of phone calls. Burden of harassments. Burden of threats of police and threats of court. Burden of repossessing your properties. And God does not want his children to be under any form of pressure or burden. He puts life. I know people who are perpetually under burden, under pressure, because of borrowing, because of indebtedness. What is my counsel? What is the way out? Number one, be determined not to borrow under any condition. Under any condition. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 6 said, thou shalt not borrow. I mentioned earlier on about the agreement of payment or payment terms. That is flexible. That's workable. A brother who is in a believing church like this one made up his mind from day one when he heard about the covenant practices. Not just giving and fighting or anything, but about all of this thing I'm talking about. He made up his mind that he was not going to borrow under any condition. That man kept that promise until he landed in the billions range. And he has remained there. Just remained there. He said today, if you give him a job of 100 billion, you don't need to mobilize him. He has enough resources of his own to commence the job. Billions. Christian brother who heard the word, thou shalt not borrow. He didn't qualify it. You can borrow in business, you cannot borrow. Thou shalt not borrow. He decided to stand on it. It's a decision. We decided that longest time. I don't know why this wristwatch, I don't know if the wristwatch is working or not, but it's just rushing. From the first time when Area 1 church was in construction, that little office at the back, it required 10 million at that time for completion. A bank came to us and they said, we can give you, and that time 10 million was 10 million of 20 something years ago. We can give it to you. Say, really? So what's the condition? So, very, very simple. Every service, they will come to church, count the offerings with our accounts people, go with the bank with them, and then keep on recovering the money. Ele, ele, oh. That is, in church, they say, who are these receiving from the bank? What are they doing here? They came to recover their money. I said, who will take the glory for the finish, for that finish? Who will, bank or God? No, sir. They tried, no way. In his own time, that amount came. That was done. Now, so one person went to the same bank, was looking for a loan for that kind of project. And they said, who will be your guarantor? He mentioned my name, that I will guarantee the loan. The people advised him, say, you are looking at the wrong person. Guarantee who? The person who will not take loan is the one to guarantee you. Look for another person. That guy went ahead with that loan. He put his life and ministry and everything under perpetual pressure. When we went to National Stadium in 2007, 19 years ago, with Ron Kennelly, the same bank arrived that they want to partner with us. The same bank partner with us to do what? They said we'll give money for we'll make contribution to the program. How much was it? Were they making? Is it 2 million or 5 million? Then, which was not near what we paid for the venue. It wasn't up to the caution deposit to pay for that venue that they would give us such amount. I said, okay, Inex, so what will we do for you? He said, throughout the night vigil, their bank will be showing on the billboard. They will just be advertising so and so bank. That bank is late now, it's late. I don't want to mention the name, but it's late. It was swallowed and buried by another bank. You know? So I said, so they will be advertising through the night. So everybody on the ground will be watching. Okay, we have now known their secret. This is the bank behind their success. And then who takes the glory? Keep your money. God provides effortless provision. Am I communicating at all? You will never miss it. If you are saying amen, say louder amen. You are saying amen, say louder believer, say amen. Say amen like a believer. So it is a decision, a determination. Number two, be a practitioner of the covenant of supernatural supplies. In 2 Chronicles 9, 6 to 8, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8, he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Just be a practitioner of the covenant. Just ensure you do what you are meant to do. That is number two. Be a practitioner. Number three, be diligent, be a diligent and determined work person. That is, I will do as much work as I need to do to avoid borrowing. Whatever work, be a diligent and determined work person. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 8, he said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He will command the blessing. Just be determined. Whatever work, and once you have such a determination, God will open the doors. I'm going to work every work it takes. I am going to do all that it takes, but borrowing shall never be my life. A determined work person. What number is that? Number four. Be patient with God. Accept your status per time. Be patient with God. Proverbs 28 and in verse 20. Proverbs 28 verse 20. He said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste, he is in a hurry to make it. He shall not be innocent. Be patient with God. Can I go ahead? Number five, don't compare yourself with people. Don't fall for the pressure to meet up. My friend bought a car. What would they think if I don't have such a car? They have sent their children to American school. I will send my own to British school. Don't compare. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10:10, those who compare. When I say Corinthians, you go to Chronicles. Any challenge? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the verse 13. He said, they comparing themselves with among themselves are not wise. They measure themselves by themselves, they compare themselves among themselves. Pull that out, they are not wise. Don't compare yourself with people. You are not in the class with anybody. Let God measure you and measure your growth per time. Don't be intimidated by what somebody has and you put your life under pressure to have it by all means. Number six, be content. Be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 8. Be content. Be content. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Verse 9. He said, move to the next verse. But they that struggle to be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. Be content means enjoy where you are on the way to where you are going. You are going somewhere. You are not remaining there. Enjoy where you are on the way to where you are going. And number seven, always find cost-effective alternatives to what you want to accomplish per time. Cost-effective alternatives to what you want to accomplish per time. The Bible said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Cost-effective alternatives. Cost-effective alternatives. There are things that may do the same work at a cheaper price. It's possible to buy granite. It's also possible to buy some tiles. By the time they place it on the ground, nobody will know the difference between it and granite. You can buy it for 1/10 of the price of the granite. But the time will come when you can afford the granite. It's possible to buy a flashy car for millions. It's also possible to buy something for a fraction of that price to fulfill the same objective. For now, I'll talk about that later. But don't put your life under the pressure of indebtedness. I will talk more. Let me read this story of a brother in this church to you about indebtedness and borrowing. Can you place it now? Freedom from indebtedness. It's a brother in this church. Saw him grow from scratch. But he said, okay, I want to be faithful in tithing. 1 million tithe, 2 million tithe, 5 million. And then kept growing until all of a sudden, everything got arrested. Because he entered into. Now let's look at it. Sir, I want to thank you for the privilege to share this. Life was very peaceful. I had thriving businesses. And my relationship with God was solid. I did the things my spirit man yearned for. Reached out to souls and the welfare of believers and non-believers alike. I had outreaches and was kingdom minded. Then I met a good friend who was a blessing to me. He gave me a seemingly harmless counsel to take bank loans and scale up my operations. It looked too good to be true, and I jumped in. Initially, all felt well. Yes, I scaled up. Huge projects took off. Things looked very promising until pressure started to pile up. The pressure was such that my peace disappeared. Bankers who were once cautious suddenly became tigers. A whole month felt like a few days. My fellowship with God took a big hit. All I thought about was how to meet up with my loan obligations. Yes, on the face of it, I achieved what I wanted to achieve, but my peace was long gone. Towards the middle of the year 2024, I had a divine encounter by God's mercy when I fell upon Proverbs 22 verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. My heart sank when I discovered the implication of my situation at the time. The Lord dropped a prayer in my heart, and I ran to the altar, this altar. I cried earnestly for deliverance from indebtedness and all forms of servitude. I was led to seek an urgent appointment with you, sir. You laid hands on me and made instant declarations, and I left. The same week of the encounter with you, sir, sudden doors of opportunities opened sporadically. Calls came in. Resources followed, sir. I had to be disciplined and determined to systematically liquidate all loans. By the last quarter of 2024, I had liquidated all facilities with the said financial institution. Sometime in November 2024, I was led to forensically audit the accounts attached to the bank facilities. And to my great shock, I had been debited with illegal bank charges. It happens all the time. There are charges you will never know until the loan is in your hands. Illegal bank charges on the interest to the tune of 1.8 billion naira. Sir, because of my erstwhile indebtedness to the bank, I couldn't negotiate the outrageous interest rate, and I didn't even know they were now stealing from me. I had to instruct my lawyers to write to the bank and approach the CBN for redress. Sir, I cannot thank God enough for this great deliverance. I am not sure many people will be fortunate to survive the ordeal I went through. Then, I've got my sanity and peace back. My fellowship and dedication to God is fully restored. My heart is now at home in God's presence. Sir, I now counsel young people, especially to avoid loans and bank facilities by every means necessary. If they need capital, they should seek investors and be ready to part with some equity. It is better to own 10% of a thriving business than to own nothing and even lose one's previous assets. This is my land. I don't have money to develop it. All right, I will help you develop it. But I'll take 50% of the developed properties. You own 40%. All right, no problem. I don't even own anything before. Whatever it is. This is a real life experience here. I will give you more examples in second service. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the honor. Give the Lord the adoration. Give the Lord the worship. Father, we worship you. Adonai, we worship you. And I know that there are bank CEOs and owners and all of that who also attend church and hear this kind of messages. You have 1,001 ways of making your money. You know all those ways, legitimately and legally, without putting people's lives under pressure. And for a start, it's important to tell people all the implications of what they are about to start in. All the full implications. But I believe it's a new day, a new deliverance for somebody. Lift your hands up and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Lift your hands and say, Father. Is somebody praying here? Say, Father, thank you for your goodness and your message to my life. Thank you,
thank you
for your word,
for your word
to me today.
In the name of Jesus,
I am grateful for your word. I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. I am grateful. In the name of Jesus, I receive your help. I receive your mercy. I receive freedom from every form of lack of financial wisdom. Every anti-covenant practice, everything that works against the system of God that I am involved in, I ask for mercy. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and lift your voice and speak to God. I ask for mercy. And mercy in Jesus' precious name.